Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT, we'll be touching on the trade news surrounding Jimmy Butler and the Rockets. We'll be discussing the all-star candidacy of Blake Griffin and Nikola Jokic. And who have you got on your hot seat as we discuss which coach will be fired before Christmas? We'll be chatting Wizards basketball, or the lack thereof. And whether or not we are witnessing the resurgence of Derrick Rose. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another edition of Just Ball Things.
Are you changing the inflections
with me
every
today?
Week?
Don't ruin. I'm in a groove here. Now you've
screwed me. The whole podcast is ruined.
with me today, as always, we have the J Man. You've really thrown my rhythm off now.
Did
the
you
J-Man,
just forget my name,
Jack Manuel? How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm better than your diction today, Nicholas. Good
I
word.
I think this
yeah?
is maybe three podcasts in a row where I've just been spaced.
No, you changed the inflections last week. I didn't mind it. Like just ball things. You changed it. I don't mind the changes, but it's when you just don't say words correctly that's frustrating as a fellow podcaster.
It's a very cromulent sentence.
Do you hear Apu's dying?
Yeah,
they're not dying. They're phasing him out.
Well, that was. I mean, it's going to be my thing now. My name is Nick Butink, and Apu is dead.
Well, he's not dead.
He's dead.
Well, like he's dead to Matt Groening.
Political correctness gone mad, Giacomo.
Oh well, I don't know, Nick. I don't really care.
I don't watch the new episodes of The Simpsons.
I haven't watched past season 12 since like 2003.
Exactly, so it hardly bears any
Do you say his last name?
Nahasapima Petalo.
There we go.
Yeah. Almost as hard as the Tetekumpo.
Antetokounmpo,
but yeah. I can actually spell a Tetekumpo.
A-N-T-E-K-O.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take a look because I've got him. He's down for JBT.
A-N-T-E-T and Teto.
Antetokounmpo.
And Teto.
All right.
An tetakun.
Yeah, kun.
The N-M.
Akunum.
So kun.
Yeah.
Po.
Yeah, right.
This is a strange start to the
podcast. You're teaching me, Nicholas. I'm the teacher here.
Of enunciation.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
What world are we living in? But I guess we're living in the Busek Manuel world.
Yes, let's start off here with the Busek Manuel scale. Get some NBA topics before we hit some fun stuff.
He's excited.
Bringing back some off-topic. So I am excited. I've done my prep.
Of course you have.
Basketball prep.
I've done my prep of this entire doc, as always. You do the JBT Awards. You're doing pretty well with that.
All right. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is a scale made by us, the Busek Manuel scale, where we sum up things likely to happen in... how likely things are to happen in the NBA.
You got it.
From alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact and straight up fact.
You shouldn't.
It's written down.
I know. I was about
so
to say.
So like,
that.
I shouldn't
just
screw
look
that
at
up.
It. Just read it. No one's looking at you apart from me. And like, you know, you've done 50 to 100 podcasts.
Yeah,
with me
I mean,
so far.
I should be a seasoned expert, shouldn't I? Anyway, let's get straight into
Bang.
It. The Houston Rockets, mate.
Yeah.
And the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, I know them
are
too.
In cahoots.
The cahoots.
Ooh. That's good. The name of the podcast.
Yeah.
There it is.
Write it down this time, because last week it took me about three hours to find it, and it was very obvious. But yes, the Houston Rockets offer for Jimmy Butler, Nicholas, is too expensive, too excessive, too much. What do you think?
It is too much.
What is
I mean,
it, though?
It's four first-round picks.
Four of them, mate. Four.
I mean, I think I was listening to a podcast today that was explaining that due to some NBA rules, they can't be in successive years, and they have to be within a span of 7 years.
Yes, sir.
So
they would be 2019, 21, 23,
yeah,
25.
Exactly. You're thinking you're going to get draft picks out of Houston's championship window.
Yes.
Most definitely. At least two, I would think.
Yep.
Two of those picks are coming outside of that window.
Yeah.
With loose protection.
Yeah, the later, you'd assume that... You know, Minnesota wouldn't take it unless one of them be 2023 or 2025 when if Morrie's still there, who knows? It has to be top three or top four protected. Like, some of them will have protections, like you said early on, because, you know, who knows what could happen if Jimmy leaves after this year. Then it's, you know, it's pointless. But I don't hate it. Do you? I don't hate it, but, like, I understand the people that are providing the fact that it's Billy King 2.0. It's not that, because, you know...
Is it not that?
No, because I think that they are legitimate championship contenders, and I think what Minnesota generally wants, they want to keep contending for playoffs, and picks aren't going to do that, despite the fact that this might be a better deal than, say, Josh Richardson, a pick, and, you know, Bam Adebayo, or whatever. Sam Vecenie put out, the fact that all those picks that I just mentioned earlier, Harden, Capella, and probably Butler, would all be signed through 2023, as would Chris Paul. So the core that they have there anyway ain't going anywhere unless they demand a trade, which, you know, Jimmy Butler did. So who knows what could happen with Harden, Paul, and Capella. But I don't think that maybe only one or two of those picks, the later ones, could be a little bit dicey, especially with, obviously, the talks of the high schoolers coming into the draft has been pushed back, I believe, to 2022 at least. So by 2023, 2025, you're expecting a larger pool of talent straight out of high school, LeBron style. But what are your thoughts, my friend?
I think, considering the trade climate in the past, you know, two years, I'd say. That's what I've been really been paying attention
about
to.
About picks and stuff.
How valuable picks have become.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, GMs were reluctant to give away one first round
this,
pick.
Yeah, this one. This must free agency.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to just throw away four first round picks on a player with behavioral problems.
But I think
with attitude problems.
I think it would actually
with an elitist sort of
mentality.
Attitude.
Yeah,
yeah. He's not good enough.
I think I heard Daryl Morey, funnily enough, on a Woj pod, and he was saying how over his tenure as a Houston Rockets GM, he's balanced out the chemistry within the team versus talent. And for him, more recently, it's been about chemistry. Why, like, you know, a lot of fans are saying, like, why isn't he training PJ Tucker? If that's all they want, like, just get rid of him. But I think he values that chemistry within the system. And the four first round picks, obviously, it's not just that. It'd be Marquise Chris and Brandon Knight to make the salaries work. And Marquise Chris, who knows what could happen with him, and Brandon Knight, he still hasn't played any meaningful basketball for the past season and a half or so. I'm in the Houston corner here, because if this helps you get a championship, then why not? Like, go all in. This is also coming from experience, Nicholas, as a Nets fan. When I started my, like, real passionate fandom for Brooklyn, Mikhail Prokhorov, Billy King, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Danny Ainge. Thank you, Danny, for destroying my franchise. But D'Lo and Karis on the rise. Jared Allen's doing well. So, I don't know. I see it. But again, I love the cojones from... cojones, whatever you want to say, from Daryl Morey. But at the same time, I don't think... You know, we've said before that Tom Thibodeau wants to do this because he wants to keep his job, GM, coach, whatever, like, he's that dual role. And for that to be the case, they need to make the playoffs, and draft picks aren't going to help make the playoffs. A different GM probably takes this.
Jimmy Butler, to me, just doesn't strike me as a number three guy. He's not as much of a team player as he is.
Clay Thompson.
He's not a team player.
But I don't...
If that made any sense.
But,
like,
no.
You can't compare him to the likes of Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I think the Houston Rockets system values individual talent with a heavy, heavy reliance on isolation play. And I think Jimmy is a very talented player that can provide them that, in the sense, and obviously with Harden experiencing some niggling injuries, Paul was back recently, Melo started. I think it's worth the roll of the dice, and I'd prefer... As an NBA fan, I'd like to hear your thoughts. As an NBA fan, I'd prefer to see him on Houston because I think it makes more of an impact on the league than him going to Miami and making them just like a sixth seed. What do you think?
Yeah, that's fair. I guess there will be more competition to...
For the Warriors.
For Golden State. Yeah,
and that's, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true, but I'm still... Like, no one in this league is worth four... No one in this league is worth... 7 years of your franchise's future.
It's four of seven.
If you think their window's in the next 3 years,
yeah, probably.
Whatever they do with that is whatever. If they then, you know, Harden gets old, they may trade away their superstars because their window is closed.
Right.
Maybe they can get
assets.
Decent assets in that. So there's 3 years gone of your, you know, that's fine. I mean, you may have won a championship in that. Chances are you're not.
No.
I don't think that Jimmy Butler necessarily pushes them into the front running for championship contention. It puts them in the mix.
Pure hypothetical before you get on to some other mini tidbits around Minnesota, Houston, and just Jimmy Butler in general. Do you think with Jimmy Butler on Houston compared to last season's version of Houston, do they have a better chance? Like, it's just straight up.
So, last year's Houston compared to...
So close with the Chris Paul injury, obviously.
Yeah. Compared to this season's with Jimmy Butler.
With Jimmy Butler. So, you add in Chris Paul, James Harden. Obviously, you take... I mean, Mbah Mute and Ariza and stuff.
I mean, Mbah Mute provided a lot of defense.
Butler's one of the best defensive players.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. So, he can fill that shoes.
Easily.
Definitely. But Butler, to me, isn't the epitome of efficiency. He's not a spot shooter.
No, I mean, I think he has elements of his game. I'm excited to see it. I get your reservations.
He was very renowned for being a very poor three-point shooter, and still is to an extent.
Yeah, he's not great. But, like, I don't think you have to be great because...
But what made Ariza and Mbah Mute was the three and D guys.
They weren't great at the three. They were good at the D. I think Jimmy Butler is way better.
Ariza was good at three.
Yeah, but he, like, last season, like, in the playoffs and stuff, he just couldn't prove it. And I think overall last season, I think he had a pretty down season. But he was taking them. Because you have to. It's part of that system. And I think Jimmy Butler, him, is way better than Mbah Mute and Ariza combined. And, you know, you don't want Melo to be your third guy. But Apollo on Twitter said that I think it's Hoop Central, the Celtics should trade Jaylen Brown for Jimmy Butler. Would you do that? Brown, big game today, sort of big showing. I personally wouldn't.
See, I would be more inclined to do that.
As a Minnesota fan or as a Celtics fan or GM?
As a Celtics fan.
Okay.
I am not super high on Jay. I reckon your future in Boston is in the hands of...
Tatum. Okay, yeah.
And Jaylen is expendable right now, I think.
Okay.
So if you're... Who's got a better chance of winning the championship? A Celtics Jimmy Butler or a Houston Jimmy Butler?
Celtics Jimmy Butler. But
exactly.
I think... Yeah, I'm with that. I don't hate that.
It's not going to be a straight swap.
No, they would. If it's
Celtics are going to lose assets.
Yeah, I mean Jaylen Brown, you have to make up some money for it. So, and then it's probably Marcus Smart in that. And obviously Marcus Smart is a heart and soul guy. But
yeah.
Speaking of Minnesota, we'll keep along sort of the similar sort of lines, Nicholas. Minnesota, hindsight obviously, should have traded Wiggins instead of LaVine in the deal that landed them Jimmy Butler in the first place.
More Jimmy Butler talk, but like, hindsight's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, we chatted about it in the car.
I'm gonna bring up LaVine's stats, but it's over 30 a game.
Yeah, he's killing it offensively. He's playing no defense. It should be... He's like doing literally nothing on the defensive end of the floor, but he is just putting up.
He must have not got 30 today, in his last game. Yeah,
which is today.
29.8.
Ah, come on, Zach.
But he's shooting, like, for a guy, again, not touted as a amazing 3-point shooter, shooting 42%.
He was the best in the year before he was traded. He was their best 3-point shooter. The first season of Tom Thibodeau, he was their best 3-point shooter. And he doesn't seem to have lost any of his burst. We've talked about most improved player, and we'll get to our sort of, you know.
I mean, when that three evolved in got picked in Minnesota, it was always LaVine was the third.
Yeah,
because but
Wiggins is number one pick.
I know, like Wiggins has obviously not. I mean, nothing has worked in Minnesota.
Poor man's Jeff Green. Poor man's Rudy Gay.
A poor man's Jeff Green.
He's pretty good
because he's LeBron. As good as LeBron.
Oh, dear Lord.
Let's not forget about I mean, we could come up with a whole season's worth of montage of just stupid shit the Wizards have said.
Yep, already. And it's been five
already
games.
Already, it's been five games.
We will get to them. You know what? Let's get to them right now, Nicholas.
Oh, no, please.
Internal strife will destroy the Wizards season. Fact?
I mean, it's already been proven that in the past, has it not?
Well, it's...
I'd love to segue this into, I think it might be the next... In fact, I'm going to segue it because it could be the next topic. We're going to talk about it anyway.
Okay.
But, how has this come about, Jack?
Yeah. What are you talking about, mate?
The internal strife, all of the comments, like, it just seems like another day in, you know, paradise for...
Washington.
For Washington. You've got Kevin Durant coming out, and during the game... You know, fourth quarter, the only starter was Oubre on the
Oubre.
Court. Oubre, he did play an amazing game in our Portland win.
Yeah.
Our one win. but he comes out and says, you know, you sub me out, these guys are weak. And that was one of the most disrespectful games I've ever seen. And that is literally the last game of basketball I have watched recording this podcast.
That's like 3 days ago, bro.
I haven't watched any this weekend. I've been busy. But that game broke me as a person. Seeing Steph
demoralize,
oh man,
destroy, demonize,
so disheartening. How do you you can't come back from that?
No,
we put up a good score.
I mean,
we put up like 120.
Okay, well, like I somehow recovered, Nicholas, after the Nets lost yesterday, so I'm sure you can. But let's go to their comments. And these are a pass after the game. Sometimes we have our own agendas on the floor, whether it's complaining about shots, complaining about playing time, complaining whatever it may be, Beal said. We're worried about the wrong expletive, which I'm assuming is shit, and that's not where our focus needs to be, and it's just going to continue to hurt us. I also saw, John Wall also said, that's the proof in the pudding, everybody on their own agenda. We showed glimpses when we do stuff as a team.
Mm-hmm.
We show how good we can be, and then we go back to trying to do it individually, and that's mostly on the defensive end, not helping each other out, not team rebounding, and that's what's killing us. Austin Rivers also said in an article that came out today on The Athletic that he's not one of those guys who's a fit in. He likes to stand out a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's just like, come on, bro. Like, just don't, like, inflame what's already
this
a
is,
massive
this
fire.
This is like the whole Jeff Teague thing in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's just like... Everything's happened, and then it's just like, we don't hang out in the off-season. You're just like...
Oh, come on.
Adding fuel to the fire. Yeah, it's... I mean, it's been a major problem for a long time with the whole disharmony here between Martin Gortat and everyone else. The whole sub-tweets about the team. You know, we performed really well as a team and while John Wall was out, and we went on that little run.
Yeah.
But there's not, I mean, it's not wrong. We don't seem to gel. We seem to be disappointed and unhappy. But then when you do see those flashes of just where something's clicked together and it's just come so natural, it's beautiful. It can be a beautiful thing to watch, but then we get clogged up. It reminds me a little bit of the Thunder at the moment. When the Thunder move, when the Thunder work,
they just don't
they
do enough.
Can, but they can do really well. When they space and they can create and find the right shot, it's beautiful. But then when you get Russ playing hero ball,
yep,
it's atrocious.
Yep.
When it doesn't, you know, when it doesn't work out.
Yeah, and I mean, as a Wizards fan, is Scott Brooks the right man?
No.
Okay.
He is not.
What's your ideal?
I don't
coach?
Know what the man is though.
What's like, your ideal? Like, if you could pick any coach in the NBA right now for your Wizards, who would it be?
Honestly, I think it would be Kenny.
Okay.
I love the cohesion that he's brought to the Nets and the just makes basketball look like fun for the players.
Okay.
I'm not sure how well he'd go with egos, because
no.
We've got a lot of egos in our team.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You guys didn't have any egos.
No, because you developed from the ground up.
Exactly.
That's why I think a guy like Greg Popovich would probably be a bit better.
Yeah, even Casey.
Yeah.
Dwayne Casey commands a shitload of respect.
Guys
knows how to deal with big... time players
as
well.
And I think that's what you guys need. It'll be interesting to see. We'll get to... you know what? We'll get to it now because Zach Lowe...
That was my next segue.
You go.
Okay.
You take the segue.
As soon as you said Zach Lowe, I need to find it now. Okay, Zach Lowe via his podcast has put out a bit of a hot take. I don't think it's that hot.
Nah, it's not hot. It's a bit warm.
A coach will be fired before Christmas.
Yeah, Scott
and
Brooks.
This is where Scott Brooks is definitely on that.
Billy
hot take.
Donovan,
Tom Thibodeau, Billy Donovan, definitely.
Yep.
Anyone else really like
Walton in
is Ty Lue on the hot seat? They're 0-5.
They're trash though. Like, you can't have expectations for them.
You know what's amazing? Another support for the whole MJ GOAT, LeBron GOAT thing. Come on, man. He brought that team to the finals.
I know, it's pretty insane.
It's amazing.
The favorites via Oddshark to get fired first are Luke Walton, Tom Thibodeau, and Luke Walton. Yeah, I know. Fred Hoiberg, Billy Donovan. Scott Brooks says that +1,000. I don't know what that means, but I'll put some money on that. Scott Brooks, Dave Yeager, Terry Stotts, Tyron Lue.
I don't think that means he's 1,000 to 1.
No, I know, but like, I don't know what American odds are, but like, he's first, second, third, fourth, fifth favorite. I think he would be favorite right now with Donovan for me.
Definitely.
Obviously, anyone where LeBron goes, it's going to be like, because he doesn't need to be coached. He's not.
I mean, I'm getting closer and closer to thinking trade John Wall. Try to get as much as we can, possibly can.
Who wants that contract though, bro? They haven't started yet, bro. Hey,
Detroit with Blake Griffin.
I mean,
I never thought Griffin was going to leave the Clippers on that,
on that
like $50 million a year contract. Yeah. That was insane.
So who's your you go a pick? I'm going
Scott Brooks.
All right, I'll go Donovan then. If you go Brooks,
yeah. I mean, I'm thinking the OKC can turn it around.
I think they
can
ride
the ship,
but they have no spacing. No, like none. Like Alex Abrines is their best 3-point shooter. Like Patrick Patterson.
Dude, when I was watching them, I haven't looked at the stats. When I was watching them, I saw Schroeder knock down some threes. I'd like to see his 3-point percentage.
I would say it is 33% or less because
yeah, really he seemed to be shooting so well.
He's Russ. Yeah, like it's just that like he gets hot and then he just like. What is it?
Sub 30, 29%.
There we go, mate. Like 33% was being generous. So there's lots of problems.
I must have caught him on a good game.
You probably did with both of those franchises. But speaking of defense, were we speaking of defense? We were speaking of offense. We'll change tacks. There we go. That's a better segue. defense. This is via Draymond Green. Defense isn't really an emphasis anymore in this league.
What did I say, mate?
What did you say?
I said last week, before all the hip podcasts, all the popular ones.
The Zach Lowe's
and Starters and the Ringers.
The Starters is like, they already are plural. You can't.
No, the Starters is.
The Starters.
And the Ringers.
The Ringers is.
They've been saying all this week, it's like, oh man, offense has been off the chart. I said this last week.
Hey!
When teams were scoring crazy points.
Hey, JBT Nick.
When the Pelicans put up 150 points in a game.
Bang, bang!
In regulation.
Bang!
It's out of control. And Draymond Green, one of the best defenders in the league, is saying that defense is not...
I think it relates as well to how the game is being officiated with these new... I hate to say it because I've heard it's like the most hip thing. Freedom of movement fouls. That's the only time I'm going to say it, guys. But just the way the game is being officiated and the new rules and how it's being interpreted, it's created a scoring bonanza, a pace bonanza. And Nick, the stats man, former stats man, is out of retirement. He's back. He's got some stats.
Well, a lot of it's got to do with this new league infatuation with pace.
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
Keep moving.
We're seeing... A lot of teams right now, like early in the season, fresh legs, whatever. We'll see how much this tapers off later on. But the top pace in the league right now is 108.6.
That's a lot.
108
that's a
possessions
lot.
A game,
that's
I think that is.
That's a lot. Yes, it is. That's a lot.
That is a lot. And then you've got things like the Kings, the Wizards, Pelicans, Lakers, obviously, very famously with their fast pace. Lakers are fifth on that list.
Yeah.
Arguably the most famous for upping their pace. Budenholzer is up the pace for the Bucks.
Bucks.
I mean,
yep.
People. This 14-second...
or less.
Yeah, 14-second shot clock as well.
Oh, with the offensive rebound.
On offensive rebounds is helping that. People aren't running down the clock. People like the... teams like the Spurs, forever playing Spurs style. They're at 98.
The paces, yeah.
But if we compare that to last season, The top pace from last season was 101.6.
Where would that rank?
That would rank you 19th.
Wowee.
So far in the league. So
take that at the ringer.
Your points, yeah, your points are directly correlated to your...
possessions.
To your pace. Yeah, to yep. how many possessions, how yep. many good possessions you are getting per game.
More possessions, the more chances you have to
exactly.
score the basketball.
And, that, and this comes into points. I mean, Pelicans are averaging 125 points a game.
That's a lot of points.
So far.
That's 36 points.
With the Warriors averaging 113 last year.
Yeah.
Again, small sample size. It's been 5 games.
But
that's going to taper off. But are we, is that going to taper off 12 points a game?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, they played poorly today.
Pelicans might end it with 118 to 120 points a game, which would be amazing.
It would be out of this world.
That's an MVP for
Anthony Davis.
For Anthony Davis, and we saw that if he's an instrumental part in that.
But. Yeah. It's out of this world. But, Nick, do you think this sort of newfound... not really newfound. I guess it's been up and down. It's a trend, so to speak. Is there a place left in the league for defensive stoppers, guys like Tony Allen? If he was in a league like today because of all the fouls that are being given and then moving back and forth, like is there room for those sort of guys? I mean, Andre Roberson is, you know, fitting in, has fit in fine last year, but how would he go like in today, sort of, if he's versing against? You know,
I mean, the... I'm you'd have to be a transcendent defensive talent.
Tony Allen was.
For no offensive game, like an Andre Robertson. For no offensive game. If you're going to at least put up, if you're going to at least jack up threes, then you're a perfect 3 and D guy.
Yeah.
Like, the league needs more 3 and D.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going at the moment.
Yeah, I think Michael Kidd-Gilchrist for the Hornets has sort of changed. Well, James Borrego, the new coach out there, sort of changed his game a little bit. Obviously, he can't shoot the three, but he sort of turned him into sort of a facilitator of sorts. So, like, rather than being able to shoot, he can pass. And I like the difference and the versatility that's given him, because you can't be, like you said, like a one-minded, one-sided sort of player. I mean, there are one-sided, you know, big men, and when it comes to, I think defensively, there's still room for those just one-sided, like, centers that can just block and do some things on as protecting the rim. Like, I prefer that. I said this on the Brooklyn Buzz with Nick Fay. I prefer that sort of center to a Jonas Valanciunas, to a Enes Kanter that can just get you buckets and some rebounds and fill up some empty stats, because that for me isn't as impactful. I don't know what the stats say, the, you know, VORP and the offensive defensive win shares, but it's certainly going to be a trend worth watching, and, you know, we'll certainly be keeping an eye on it at just Ball Things.
But the fact that defense isn't really an emphasis, I mean, it's kind of a fact right now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, what other how else do you look at it?
Yeah.
The amount of offensive possessions that you're getting, and we're seeing just massive amounts of points from teams like the Jazz.
Yeah.
As well. Like, one of the most defensively sound teams in
and
the past.
And their pace is up.
13 years. Like,
couple of years.
4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been defensively sound. Now, Quinn Snyder's obviously trying to bring in more offense with a lack of defense, I guess. Or maybe that offense is... I posted this last week. Is offense transformed in a way that is making it extremely hard to guard?
Yeah, and I think it's, one, a little bit of that, and also, two, the fact that, you know, defenses are being, like... it's favoring the offensively-minded and gifted players with how officials are calling certain fouls, you know, the three-point shooters, all the rest. But Nick, Nikola Jokic has GB Team of the Week and last week, also had a pretty good week this week, is a better player than Russell Westbrook. This is via a poll via Jackson Franks. Congratulations to him, by the way. He's been a nice follower for me, and he's now running for The Athletic. But the poll went bananas, Nicholas. There was almost 19,000 votes.
Wow.
51% voted for... give me a drum roll. Do you have a drum roll?
I do have a drum roll.
51. For Russell Westbrook, 49% for Nikola Jokic. Right now, I think
that's. I mean, the whole suspenseful thing was the fact that it was split 51-49.
Yeah,
not the fact that who won that.
Yeah,
that is amazingly close. We're talking Russell Westbrook MVP 2 years ago.
Yeah,
last year.
Yep. No, 2 years ago. Last year was Harden.
That's amazing.
It's insane.
I am still low on... can I still be low on Nikola Jokic? Am I allowed to be that?
I think NBA Twitter is going to get at you, at JBT Nick. I don't think you're...
Open your eyes, old
you're
man.
Allowed to. You're not allowed to anymore, Nicholas. You know, a guy at a 35-point triple-double, which was almost a perfect game, apart from one free throw.
I mean, he has started hot.
It's insane how well he started.
His, I think his box plus minus right now is a plus 15.
It's
is nuts.
He's staggeringly good right now.
Started very, very hot. And you know, good for him. I wanted him to prove me wrong. I want the Nuggets to be successful. They haven't seen success in a long time. And they've got such a amazing talent in Jokic. I just didn't think that Malone has the gall to get him where he should be.
Yeah, and I think that it's going to be more, not necessarily on the coach to get him that. I think it's going to be on Jokic to take that sort of mentality and take that next step, because I think he underestimates how much he can have an impact on this game and how transcendent he is as a passer. Like he, with say Domantas Sabonis, best big man passer already ever, and within a couple of seasons he'll easily have that mark. There is no player like him that has played this game offensively. Defensively, I think he has a ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
But can you... I understand your reservations about can you build a championship team around a defensive liability. A defensive liability in a center. He's not Embiid. He's not Davis. He's not Gobert. Like, you want your centers to have some defensive acumen. He doesn't really. And, I mean...
If I'm a center,
bring Dwight Howard into this already. Come on, calm down.
He's on my mind.
He's always on
him
your mind.
And his strained ass. yeah. If I'm playing against Jokic, I'm not afraid to go at him. He doesn't have that
menacing nature.
Yeah, he doesn't have that nature. He doesn't have that superstardom. Be like, man, this guy is
gonna put
impossible.
Me on. Yeah.
You know. Definitely not on the defensive end, and maybe guarding Jokic, you're like, man, this guy is incredible. Like, I can't guard him.
Yeah,
he just doesn't scream.
Superstar.
I am a superstar.
That's the thing though, because his game is so unique. Like, he doesn't have flashy dunks. He doesn't have posters. He doesn't have rejections.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we expect from our centers. He's playing like a small man. Like, he's just throwing dimes left, right, and center, making Jamal Murray like look like an absolute stud, making Gary Harris look like an insane superstar, making freaking Trey Lyles make buckets. He just does so many things that impact well on the basketball court, and it's just...
Yeah.
It's something whether it's, you know, you or us, or just the NBA in general, and fans need to just be able to appreciate, this guy is a stud. He is a superstar. Is he on Russell Westbrook's level? I mean,
I mean, right now, sure.
I'm saying fact for now.
Yeah, but come the end of the season,
who knows?
Is Jokic going to be a better player than Westbrook? I don't think.
If they're the third seed, I say he pushes himself into the top 10 conversation.
I don't know. I'd need to see it. I would have to see it because I am struggling to visualize that.
Nick,
is he an all-star?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Blake Griffin and all.
Ah, segues, Nicholas. You're still in the segue game. man, this one's hard.
This is tough. He is started that 50. I watched that whole game, that 50-point game.
And it was. Wow. I watched the end of it, and just it was. And I was keeping up with it on Twitter. He's just special.
You know what annoyed me the most about this game?
What's that? What do you got?
The game winning. Layup.
Play, yeah. Wait, Griffin sticks
his
arm
out?
That
was not Griffin.
Yeah.
That was Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, because he's
done...
That
was Dwayne Casey...
To a T. He's done...
Everything. And I watched that play, and I just started clapping. I'm just like...
He's done that play over and over.
And I tweeted it as well. I retweeted the clip
from OTG. The side-by-side, yeah.
And... No, not the side-by-side. I retweeted just the clip of him doing it. And I'm like... ladies and gentlemen, Dwayne Casey, your coach of the year.
Yeah.
That was an incredibly drawn up play, and Blake Griffin's getting all the
accolades.
Yeah, accolades.
He's done that, but like Dwayne Casey, it's like one of his favorite.
Granted,
ATOs.
He finished it and he got the and one.
Yeah.
Dumb foul.
Yeah.
Like
I mean, it was
if you're gonna do that, You tackle him.
But, like, you saw... Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You don't give him an add one.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you know, you could say that you could end up in a James Ennis situation where you get the flagrant and stuff. But, yeah, I think Blake was just... He was just hot. Is he an all-star? Okay, is he going to be... Is he better? Is he going to make the all-star team ahead of Jason Tatum, Nick? Tatum. Yes, no. Get it. Go ahead, Olip. Come on.
I don't...
No.
I don't know, man. Like... I am expecting that. I mean, Pistons are undefeated. That's going to change.
Yeah,
Pistons are a fringe playoff team.
Yeah.
In the East.
Yeah.
So I mean, they could finish fourth if they continue this. But I feel like a lot of it's like the Orlando Magic last year.
Yeah, it was started hot like
and just completely fell off a cliff. Is Blake Griffin going to be an All-Star? My instincts say no.
Yeah, my instincts say no.
But I did a it's hard to deny him right now. 33 points a game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Actually, I did do a poll, and I will go to my lovely fans. I actually have some. I can't believe it. 80% said yes. 80%.
I cannot
believe.
And
that was a pretty well voted. Like, there was almost 60 people that voted for that, Nick.
I cannot possibly believe.
Definitely some recency bias in there, because I posted it literally right after the game. But, you know, it's a worthwhile question.
He's averaging double-double, 33 and 11.
Yeah, he...
That's not... He's shooting 65% from three. Blake Griffin is shooting 65%
he's better than
from
Drummond.
Three.
He's better than Drummond, yeah? He's way better than Drummond.
He's a better player than Drummond. And, I mean, people have arguing, is this the best Blake Griffin we've ever seen?
Maybe.
I'm going to reserve that judgment 20 games in.
Yeah.
20-game podcast, you can ask me this same question again.
Yeah.
Is this the best Blake Griffin we've ever seen? And I hope the answer is yes.
Yeah. He's certainly playing much more complete basketball than he did. He is the number one guy on a team now.
And that was his best season.
Yeah.
I think it was the season before Chris Paul came in.
Yeah, yeah.
Then that was amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, the fans think he does. I think that guys like Middleton, who are right now playing insane basketball with Milwaukee, you know, in terms of your starters, it's going to be Giannis... is easily getting that starting spot. Kawhi's getting that starting spot. So it's going to be, can he beat the likes of Tatum, Simmons, all these sort of guys to land himself a spot?
It's health as well. I mean, health is a massive question mark for Blake Griffin. He hasn't played 80-plus games, or like he hasn't played 70-plus games
since
2014.
That's 4 years ago, before the podcast, Nick. That's not even real time for us. We don't acknowledge time before the JBTB.
So he went 67, 35, 61, 58.
Yeah. He needs to stop punching people in the face. Maybe in Detroit, he has less distractions.
There might be less fire. Didn't he punch a fire extinguisher or a wall?
Maybe.
He definitely punched someone.
Yeah.
But he punched an inanimate object as well.
Absolutely. And speaking of... big guys. Your segue game is so much better today. Joel Embiid should have been fined in the incident that got Pistons center Andre Drummond ejected. Facts.
Can you get fined for flopping?
You should. You should get suspended for that freaking piece of
that
shit
was,
flop. Disgusting.
Yeah, that was atrocious.
And he has the gall to go, get him out of here. Dude, yeah, you
he
are
flops.
A seven...
He flops and was just like on the ground. And then when he heard the whistle, he gets up straight away and like, get him out of here. I'm like,
dude,
that's bad.
And like,
that's bad.
We are big fans of Joel Embiid here at the pod.
That's a bad.
But we've talked about as well the tide that will turn for him, that will turn him into like, you know, the most hated player. It's gonna come if he keeps doing this sort of trash, because that was just like unsportsmanlike. And he got a quote unquote, and I'm using air quotes, Nicholas. Record this and put it on the pod. I don't know if we can get an air quote somewhere on the soundboard.
What does an air quote sound like?
I have no idea. It's like a clap in the woods.
What is that one hand? Listen up, Lise.
But yeah, it was horrible. It was
very bad.
And after the game, he goes, I've got real estate in Andre Drummond's head. It's like, bro, you lost the game and you got him ejected
because
you were flopping.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were
a petty little
weak
bitch.
It was weak as F. Weak F.
Weak F.
And speaking of weak F, I'm going to give a quick aside here to Solomon Hill, who I will quote, Ed Davis is a clown for freaking flopping again against Ed Davis for pushing him out of our timeout because he was trying to overhear our play. I'm sick of these clowns, Nicholas. I'm sick of these floppers. Get them out. Find them. Suspend them.
Get out.
Literally.
Get out.
It's been a while since
you said that. Yeah, let's bring back the get out.
But, I mean, flopping rules are supposed to be here for a reason. Mm. Why aren't we going, warning... Dude, that's like the most blatant flop. And it got someone ejected.
Like, it was a little flick of the hand.
Yeah.
Like, and he wasn't even looking at Embiid.
Yeah.
Not intentional whatsoever.
No.
It was
BS to say
an atrocious. Like, that got a technical.
At Joel Embiid, we know you love to have fun on social media, mate. Come at us. At the JBT. At JBT Nick. He's growing. He's growing, baby. Watch him. He's on the rise. But tips on Derek Rose Nicholas, another man who's on the rise. And this also part of the OTGBasketball.com breakout player series is Derek Rose. As long as he's healthy, Nick, he'll be one of the best players in the league. I'm going to drop the mic and just go get some chocolate or something from your kitchen because I don't know what to say to this.
I mean, is that crazy?
One of the best players in the league.
I mean, okay.
Are you calling Derek Rose one of the best players in the league?
Maybe not one of the best players in... Maybe one of the, not one of the best players in the league. But he has... He is an amazing... He's an amazing basketballer.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm going to get his stats up.
Okay, I'll go...
I think that a healthy Derek Rose, one that's happy... Like, because he's accepted his spot in the league right now, and he can be...
As one of the best players in the league,
an extremely good player.
Yeah, off the bench.
I'm not... Yeah.
I think he could be one of the best bench players in the league.
Yeah,
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
But like,
best player in the league, I mean, you're comparing him to...
Come on, Tibbs, man. This ain't 2011. Like, seriously. Nick, before we get on to JB Team of the Week, we'll do... a lot of other podcasts have been sort of saying, like, their takes that they gave and like, giving mulligans and what would you take back. Give us a quick one, Nick. You predicted something. What would you take it back in our season preview pod?
Well, in our season preview, I mean, it's no mystery that I made a lot of
Toronto.
Crazy...
Toronto Raptors!
Yes, all right. So, I picked the Toronto Raptors to finish fifth.
Yep.
Very wrong.
Very wrong.
Toronto Raptors are finishing first, and Kawhi Leonard top three...
MVP.
Maybe top four MVP.
Okay.
He's playing with extreme confidence and good for him.
You were high on the Pelicans, mate. I'll give you
yep,
that.
I was.
One of the very...
I mean, some
few.
Of them paid off.
Yeah.
Kevin Knox is not paying off. He's injured right
no,
now.
No, he's not. I predicted some very good things, and Mike Budenholzer, Coach of the Year, certainly on
yeah,
the rise.
Yeah,
JJ Redick.
Yeah.
We both picked Giannis. He's certainly an MVP contender. But very quickly before we get to JB team, I picked the OKC Thunder to finish fourth. Not looking too good now.
Still could happen. I mean, who knows?
It's still 75, 77 games to go or so, but Nick, play that awesome, wonderful JB Team of the Week music.
JB Team of the Week.
Yes, so this is where we recognise the best players from the week just by in their position. Ladies and gentlemen, at the point guard position, Stephen Curry against my Wizards dropped 18 points in less than 4 minutes. 4 minutes!
Oh my god.
At halftime, he had
30,
he had 31. At the end of the third, he had 51. A new NBA season high, 15 of 24 shooting, 11 of 16 from long distance, and one layup that did not count, which was amazing.
It was
you should check that out.
Yeah.
And a perfect 10 for 10 from the line. That is a classic Steph Curry line in 32 minutes on the floor. Amazing.
Yikes.
MVP level?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yep.
At the shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan had an awesome Spurs game and a nail-biting win over the Lakers. 32 points, 8 rebounds, 14 assists.
That's
career high.
Very nice.
Giannis Antetokounmpo taking out the small forward position. He was simply unstoppable against the Sixers, where he put up 32 points, 18 rebounds, and 10 assists in a solid win. He is leading defensive rebounds at the moment.
Since
so he's amazing. We mentioned this guy before. Taking the power forward spot, Blake Griffin went crazy. 50 points and a game-sealing layup and one to go along with 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 block to guide Pistons to a victory over the Sixers. And taking the center spot, none other than Anthony the Brow Davis. He had a stellar game. He posted 34 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 blocks.
He had 5 blocks and 4 steals against the Nets. Like 9...
Defensive player of the year.
Oh, man.
Caliber, like, definitely. In his win over the Clippers. So that's Stephen Curry, DeMar DeRozan, Giannis, Griffin, and the Brow taking out those spots. So, mate, let's get to Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella!
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson 1, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yes, so these rookies are certainly expecting the unexpected because they're going to get some votes today, baby. For those of you who are new, this is where we award 1, 2, or 3 votes to the rookies based on their weekly performances. One vote in a win over the Bulls. Luka Doncic was great, finishing with 19 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds and a steal. He had some other great games this week, just putting in one. 2 votes for his first JV team rookie watch appearance. Marvin Bagley had the best game of his young career so far in a loss to the Nuggets, finishing with 20 points, 9 of 11 from the field.
Very efficient 20 points.
Yeah, definitely. 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 5 blocks. Probably one of the best defensive performances of his career.
He's an athletic boy, is Bagley.
I mean, he didn't show much defensive acumen in college and high school, but I really like him. I think he can provide something for the Kings. Low-keeping, kind of nice, Sacramento. Sorry we haven't given you guys some love, but Bagley gets some love. Trae Young, baby. Oh, my God.
Not surprising he takes the 3.
Oh, wowee. 35 points, 11 assists, and a win over the Cavs. Since 2000, only 2 other rookies have posted 35 points and 10 assists. Stephen Curry and LeBron James. Not bad company, Trae. You're doing well, mate. Keep nailing those Trae's. Insane passer. He's special. I think Corey Waldron is going to have to eat his words and then some about the fact that he won't be in the league for in the next 7 seasons because he's a very special player. It's going to be... I'm enjoying watching Atlanta basketball just because of this kid. He's just fun to watch.
Throughout college, he was always touted as being the next Steph Curry. I remember I was getting all these notification Bleacher reports of that, you know, Trae hits, blah, 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 like X... From X amount of 40
feet,
yeah, exactly. Touted as the next Steph Curry, and it's the way the league's going, it's a good spot to be.
He's going to be very good, but I think he's going to be his own version. You get to your favorite, the topic we haven't seen in a while. Play the music for our off topic.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic?
Because sometimes, Jack, you just need a break from basketball.
Like your entire week.
That's got to be the motto. That's got to be my off topic.
That's not bad.
Sometimes you just need a chat about something that's very dear to your heart.
Potato chips?
Like potato chips.
They're dear to my heart.
Now you may be thinking, Nick, Jack, how are you going to fit 15 minutes worth of potato chip talk? You watch us.
How can't we fit?
You listen.
It'll be, I mean, we get...
I get very...
Animated.
Animated about...
Food.
Food. About, I love this talk. This is my favorite talk. I run a basketball podcast, and my favorite segment is when we don't talk about basketball. It's great.
So we'll delve into potato chips, guys. I did a little bit of a preview earlier in the week, posted the off-topic music. It's wonderful. It's very fancy.
I'm sure there's a BuzzFeed thing on what potato chip are you.
Yeah.
I mean, there would be.
I think we did what potato are we, I think.
Oh, like what potato variant? Like mashed potato, fried?
Yeah, we've done that, but we haven't... delve deep into the potato chip world.
I mean, potato chips are so
now,
broad.
Okay, so I was having this conversation, funnily enough, yesterday with some of the boys after the wedding. One, Luca Mandola, I'm going to shout him out. He said that, and this was just off cuff, like unprompted, that Smith's original crinkle cuts are the best chips. And I told him to leave. He had to go.
He had to leave.
It's a word. Like, what are we talking about? Now, for those that don't, these are our Australian fans, obviously know the Smiths. The crinkle cuts, they are similar to, say, a ruffles.
Oh, yeah, ruffles.
So,
yeah, ruffles.
But, like, the crinkles are a little bit wider. Now, we're getting technical.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, because ruffles, they're very
thin.
Very
ruffles
thin.
Are way better than fucking Smiths, man. Ruffles
I agree.
Much better.
But I think that may be because we don't have ruffles here. And so when we get them, it's something so new and foreign.
Yeah, but, like,
I would
buy ruffles above most potato chips here. They'd be probably be my... third pick.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Smiths aren't bad. They're not bad.
They're the worst, though.
They are
the
worst.
Yeah.
It's just because potato chips are so good.
Yeah.
But it's not just... I mean, the original flavor can be a little bit boring.
Sweet potato original.
But it's not just that. It's the fact that it's like there's no craft.
But you know what's
in Smiths?
Yeah,
chips.
Yeah, but you know what's... And I think... Pringles count as potato chips, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Rank me Australian brand potato chips now. Or like, you can't just go by, like, okay, this is my favourite flavour. You have to go by brand. If I'm going by brand, I'm going Pringles. I'm going Kettle.
You're going Pringles top.
Pringles, mate.
You're a madman. You're a madman.
Wrong. I love Pringles ridiculously. I have them on every single flight to and from London. But and I've made about eight flights.
They are the ideal. They are the ideal portable
food,
one,
hey?
Because they are bang, thin.
Thin.
Yeah, they don't like.
They're
they
thinner
don't,
than thins.
They are thinner than thins. They are very thin.
Yeah.
They're very easy to eat. You pull out. Portable. You can pull out a stack.
What's the most you've done? I think I've done five. You've
five. Is
I,
that
I don't.
All?
I don't like to waste it. That's me. Like I prefer like.
I mean, you've seen how big my mouth. Is.
Yes, you fit like when we went to Chicago. You bought like a giant.
Was
cheese,
it 15? 15?
11.
It was 11.
I remember because I remember
11
saying,
cheesy puffs in my mouth.
And for those who didn't pay attention, like season one of JBT, I posted that video. Check on our Facebook. It's hilarious. Nick has a large mouth, and Chelsea's a very lucky woman. But rank your brands.
Pringles can't be top.
It has to be. Kettle, right?
I mean, your deli style chips, okay, have to be top. The crunch,
yeah.
The just how they've baked it. I don't know.
The creativity of the flavors.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
What I kettle? Miss is kettle barbecue, bro. Barbecue.
No.
You're not a barbecue fan.
Nah. See, I would put either. Sometimes Red Rock Deli can be above kettle because kettle just do standard flavors.
Okay.
But Red Rock Deli do like lime and cracked
pepper.
Sweet
chili.
Lime and cracked pepper is an extremely underrated flavor.
Yeah, I need to get it.
They've got
them.
Like caramelized onion flavor. Like yeah. they go experimental with their flavors, and
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
But I'm going kettle top because yeah. their salt and vinegar is just the tits
to die for.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And then it's your Red Rock Deli is amazing.
Yeah.
I'd probably chuck Pringles next.
Okay, that's fair.
Because they are because the portability, they taste amazing.
Sour cream and onion, bro.
Oh, see, I'm a big fan of the original Pringles.
I see, I like
just,
them
just
as well.
Original Pringles.
I like
just
them.
Just salted, that's yep. it. Where's corn chips in that thing? Are they higher than your standard?
I think they're higher than Smith's, but I think the best form of corn chips.
So I think corn chips is like a very much a. Am I in the mood for corn chips? Because sometimes I would rather take Smith's over corn
chips. Right, but like if you're talking like corn chips, we can also say. Nachos,
I mean, nachos is a lot of work.
They
you
are
got the cheese. You got the chili.
Yep, I'm a big
jalapeno.
Jalapeno business. I'm a big fan of nachos. I'm a big fan of corn chips. But if we're going to, I'm going to give the international flavor because I'm the man who's all around the world. UK style chips. I love their Pringles. Come in 200 gram. Servings, not 130, bro. 200 gram servings. Ooh. That's what it's about. Like that's why I lived there for 2 years. Ooh. I didn't want to leave London because of the Pringles and how large they were, and they were cheap. They were always like £1, £1.50, and then they've got very good
snack food. Was tremendously cheap
it's
in the UK.
Awesome.
It was amazing.
It's awesome. And they also, yeah, they've got very good artisanal chips, and Doritos are always on special as well. I'm looking forward to one. Their kettle chips are very good. They had kettle barbecue, which is my favorite flavor in the world, and they stopped running them. Like, about 6 months into my London tenure, I remember going specifically to Ali's local off-license. They would only have them there. Only. And then it just stopped. They just stopped appearing. And my life changed. And
you know what was an underrated chip?
Yeah.
It's still on stores and it's still on shelves, but it's not a flavor that's been embraced by the likes of Kettle and, and like... So I have to sort of bum it and get the Smith's one because that's the only cheese and onion. It's
okay.
The only flavor.
Mature. There's Tyrell's, which is very popular in London.
Oh yeah,
they
yeah,
do
Tyrell's,
a very
yeah.
good cheddar and onion. I highly
okay.
recommend theirs
okay.
because theirs has a kettle style that I think that you will embrace. But I'm looking forward to heading to the States over Christmas and hopefully living there one day because the chip flavors Cheetos. Like Cheetos are underrated.
See, are they potato chips?
They're
like,
they're in the middle
if,
of Doritos.
If we're ranking like, if we're putting like cheese puffs or twisties and like, I'm a big fan of cheese puffs.
Yes, you are.
I mean, I love them.
You fit a lot in your mouth.
And like, does that extend to popcorn? Because
we're not doing popcorn, bro.
Popcorn might be top of that list for me.
Nah, well, I've been obsessed with cheesy popcorn.
We're talking like brands here, so like it has to be potato chips. So we're not putting.
Cheese puffs
in there.
Okay, fair enough. Flavors,
mate.
Flavors, okay.
Okay, so...
Barbecue.
Really?
Big barbecue fan, my friend. Yeah. Big barbecue fan.
Barbecue, see, the thing is, barbecue's too variant for me. Like,
everyone does barbecue like, very differently.
Exactly.
I like an overdose of that fucking
MSG. Completely different flavor, depending on what you get. Like, barbecue shapes.
Yeah.
I don't know where. I don't know what a barbecue. What barbecues taste like barbecue shapes. But
remember the old commercials where they had the like the tiny little barbecues and they would zoom out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're just really good commercials.
I mean, if shapes taste like metal and coal, then maybe. But maybe. Yeah, because barbecue is such a diverse flavor. You can have like different infusion of meats, of onions, like there's a lot of things. I mean,
that's why I like it.
It tastes like salad. There are salads at barbecues.
Ah,
I mean, but you know what I'm getting.
I got you.
Salt and vinegar is a very...
Consistent. It's the It's the LeBron James of potato chips.
It can kill you. I've literally burnt my tongue.
How?
Because I have eaten too many.
You got that?
It's like the acid. It literally burns my tongue.
Yeah, it leaves you very dehydrated. Oh, yeah. Well. You can't, like, have... As much as like it's
perfect, I have binged on.
The perfect complement for potato chips is a nice soft drink, like just a classic Coke, cold Coke, but it inflames the dehydration. So you need to have whether I actually probably need to take my own advice here, get a Gatorade or just have, you know, your bottle of water there.
I mean, popcorn's the same thing. You don't realize how dehydrated
saltiness,
you are
butteriness.
Until like if you go to a late night movie and you have a popcorn, even if you've got a drink there. You wake up the next day and you're just like...
Thirsty as f***.
Exactly. You don't realise how bad it's gotten until it's...
Gotten bad.
Exactly. Yeah. Too late, but we're not talking about popcorn.
No.
It's about potato chips.
We
might... Salt and vinegar's top for me.
Okay.
But yours is barbecue.
Yes.
Barbecue's quite low for me.
Yeah, but I don't know why. I just like the... And Samboy barbecue as well. I used to love Samboy chicken. Remember when Samboy had... The flavor satchels where you would open it and you could put
it in. Oh, yeah, you put it in, you shake it.
And you like super duper fired the flavor. Oh, man, I miss them. They also had a really nice tomato flavor, the atomic tomato.
That actually was good.
How good were they?
Yeah, that was good.
Not many
and,
of the...
And no one's embraced it. Like, that's an old flavor.
And it's good.
No one's embraced it.
I think they do like tomato sauce, like Heinz, like. Smith's. But like, it's not the same because it's Smith's.
I think French fries did one with tomato sauce flavor.
French fries are good, man.
French fries are good.
Yeah. Like, very easy to eat. Like
I would drop them everywhere. I drop them everywhere.
I'll eat them off you. Let's go.
Like the little dregs of popcorn. We're talking about popcorn again. Like,
Kotnik! Stay focused!
Alright, that's a pretty comprehensive view on potato chips.
JBTpodcast@gmail.com if you want to let us know your thoughts.
So ideally, what was your top one? Barbecue Pringles would be...
Actually, sour cream Pringles are my favourite, but like they're on par with barbecue because barbecue I'd have so much that sometimes I've lost its allure. But...
See, it makes sense for me because salt and vinegar kettle are pinnacle.
Yes,
that's pinnacle. All right, I think that just about does it.
Really?
Let's
keep going.
For another week.
Fair.
So we'd just like to say thank you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Nothing But Net - Radio channel. I hope that time has not changed, else I'm plugging the wrong time.
You'll find us there.
You can always catch us on podcasts anyway, Apple Pods, Blog Talk Radio. I use Pocket Casts. It's on there for Android users. Still trying to find out what how to do Spotify. It might not be possible.
We'll figure it out.
So you can do us a solid, leaving a rating and review as well. Helps us out.
Been a while, ladies and gentlemen. We want to hit that 20 mark. We're still at 16, 17.
You can contact us at JBT, at JmanJBT and at JBTNick. I'm back on Twitter. You should hit up at OTG Basketball as well and read some awesome NBA articles there. We've got Facebook, Just Ball Things. So if you just search that, you'll find us. JBTpodcast@gmail.com. You can email us with any questions, queries, concerns. I'll read them out on the show. If you don't want us to read them out, that's completely fine too. So just hit us up there if you want to hear any content. So remember, it's you guys that make the show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
Keep balling, superstars.